It's a case of blaming the victim, sort of. A gun shop recently agreed to pay $2 million to victims of the snipers who terrorized the Washington, D.C. area 2 years ago. But the theory of the plaintiff's case was that the gun shop, too, had been a victim of crime. The semi-automatic rifle used in the sniper's spree had been stolen from the shop, or so the owner claimed. Shoplifted perhaps by one of the snipers, known to hone his aim at the firing range upstairs. Years ago, that might have provided a complete defense. Just ask those who know the tale of Homer Bottorff. Nearly 100 years ago, the 12-year-old boy sued an Indiana stone quarry after he was injured by blasting caps stolen from there. The lawsuit alleged that the company had negligently stored dynamite in a small, wooden, shackly building that was an open invitation to thieves. Sure enough, an older boy stole blasting caps and gave them to Homer, who, according to his complaint, had no knowledge of the great peril of holding a lighted match to the shell of one of said caps, he soon learned. But the Indiana Supreme Court ruled that the boy couldn't hold the stone quarry responsible. Even if the quarry had been careless in storing the dynamite, the boy's injury came about only because another party, the older boy, had committed a crime by stealing the caps. That criminal intervention, then, not the quarry's earlier negligence, became the proximate or legal cause of the plaintiff's injury. That's essentially the law today, with one significant qualification. Today, if an intervening criminal act is considered reasonably foreseeable, it won't sever the theft victim's legal responsibility. In 2003, for example, the New Mexico Supreme Court held that an Albuquerque car dealer could be held liable for injuries caused in a head-on collision by a car thief fleeing police at 90 miles per hour. The collision was caused directly, of course, by the thief's intervening criminal acts, but those acts were the foreseeable consequences of the dealer's decision to leave the car unattended and unlocked with the keys in the ignition. Same decision when a gang of thieves in Alaska intentionally set off a storage magazine filled with 80,000 pounds of explosives in order to cover up a burglary, causing a blast that measured 1.8 on the Richter scale. There, the Alaska Supreme Court held that neighbors could recover from the owner because he should have foreseen the danger that thieves might strike. The cases today often turn on specific facts alerting defendants to the risks of thievery. In the New Mexico case, for example, an expert testified that Albuquerque was known for having an especially high rate of car theft and that stolen cars were especially likely to end up in accidents. In the Alaska case, there was evidence that the defendant knew of at least six prior break-ins at its storage magazine. The settlement in the case of the Tacoma gun shop means that there will never be a trial with similar proof. But the recent settlement comes after the plaintiff's complaint alleged that at least 238 guns have gone missing from the shop, aptly named the Bullseye Shooter's Supply, in recent years, and that some had been used in crimes including murders, kidnappings, and assaults. I'm Amy Guida.